107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Biden drops out. I'm Daria Albinger. President Biden ending his reelection bid. He wants to see his vice president, Kamala Harris, atop the new Democratic ticket.
President Biden and Vice President Harris spoke multiple times earlier Sunday ahead of the president's announcement that he will not continue his reelection bid. The president said in a statement he gives his full support and endorsement for Harris to be the Democratic nominee. According to a source familiar, on Sunday afternoon after the president's announcement, Vice President Harris was making calls to a range of Democratic officials, including congressional Democrats, governors, party officials, and civil rights leaders. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Texas Congressman Joaquin Castro among the Democrats getting behind her.
The only thing that we can do is make sure that we have the strongest campaign going forward. And I believe that Vice President Harris is the person to lead it.
The president will speak to the nation later this week. This is ABC News. There's a curfew now in Bangladesh with anti-government demonstrators killing more than 100 people since last week. More from ABC's Inez de la Quintera.
The demonstrations ignited over a new quota system that planned to allocate up to 30% of government jobs to the families of veterans who fought for independence against Pakistan in 1971. The country's top court scrapping most of those quotas, hoping to quell the violence. The U.S. Embassy in Dhaka saying in a statement reports indicate hundreds to possibly thousands injured, adding the situation is extremely volatile.
Police have been given shoot on sight orders. This is going to be a very busy week as far as economic data and economic reports are concerned. The latest GDP, the gross domestic product, will be released on Thursday. Essentially, it's a snapshot of all the goods and services that the U.S. produced in the previous quarter. There's also durable goods, personal income, and spending numbers this week. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
You're listening to Civic Media News special coverage of Biden, President Biden, withdrawing from his re-election campaign, a moment that maybe seemed inevitable to many 2 weeks ago after his much-criticized debate performance, then his diagnosis with COVID-19, then increasing calls from top national Democrats for him to withdraw, denials from the Biden campaign as recently as yesterday that that would happen. And now here we are today, a complete reset of the race for president, which was already quite historic. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell of Civic Media News. Many people are joining us for the next hour talking about this very important development for the country. Joining me now in a moment is Todd Albaugh of the Todd Albaugh Show. But first, let's get a news update from Savannah Tomei Olson. Savannah?
Hey, Terry. So once this news broke early in the afternoon today, the first thing that happened was the flood of Democrats who were praising this decision, whether they had previously spoken about it publicly or not. There was really just a huge wave of Democrats saying that this was the right move. When I spoke to Congressman Mark Pocan, he said that this was an honorable decision and made by someone patriotic. The campaign has formally filed its paperwork with the Federal Election Commission. So instead of it being the Biden-Harris campaign, it's now officially called Harris for President. Kamala Harris has spent all day calling Democratic lawmakers. She is making at least 200 phone calls by the end of the night tonight. assuring Democrats that she's on their side and trying to make sure that that they can act as surrogates for her campaign against President Donald Trump. And Biden is not the first president to end their reelection campaign, but he did exit the race the latest. So this is something that Democrats will be hoping to change. The last two incumbent presidents to drop out of the race for a second term were Harry Truman and Lyndon B. Johnson, both Democrats. However, after both of those races, it ended up being Republicans that won. So if Kamala Harris is able to win the White House, it would be a historic moment for many reasons, but that one especially. And of course, on the other side, Trump's super PAC, MAGA Inc., has already started buying ad time for ads against Harris, especially in four major battleground states, Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. There's just no doubt that every day is going to be a flood of information as this continues, Terry.
Thank you, Savannah. I'm going to read from the president's statements that he put out on Twitter, X, if you will. That's how the news broke earlier this afternoon, just before 1 o'clock Central Time. My fellow Americans, over the past 3.5 years, we have made great progress as a nation. Today, America has the strongest economy in the world. We've made historic investments in rebuilding our nation, in lowering prescription drug costs for seniors, and in expanding affordable health care to a record number of Americans. We've provided critically needed care to 1 million veterans exposed to toxic substances, passed the first gun safety law in 30 years, appointed the first African-American woman to the Supreme Court, and passed the most significant climate legislation in the history of the world. America has never been better positioned to lead than we are today. I know none of this could have been done without you, the American people. Together, we overcame a once-in-a-century pandemic and the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. We protected and preserved our democracy, and we revitalized and strengthened our alliances around the world. It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. And while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is in the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision. For now, let me express my deepest gratitude to all who have worked hard to see me re-elected. I want to thank Vice President Kamala Harris for being an extraordinary partner in all this work, and let me express my heartfelt appreciation to the American people for the faith and trust you have placed in me. I believe today, what I have always have, that there is nothing America can't do when we do it together. We just have to remember we are the United States of America. And it's signed Joe Biden. We bring Todd Aubaugh into the program now. And Todd, you anchored our coverage earlier today. I thank you for that. What are some of your impressions on this incredibly historic day?
Always a pleasure to be with you, Terry and Savannah, coming to you from the Richland Center, actually, this evening. And, I mean, Terry, you and I talked about this at the RNC earlier or later last week on Thursday. My reporting from both Republicans and Democrats indicated this would happen, and it would happen over the weekend, and most likely today, and here we are. So I think people that were following this closely, that today's announcement was neither a surprise nor unexpected. I think really tonight the focus should be on Joe Biden and on the Democrats, the Democratic leadership. Look, I think all of us who've lived a few years on this planet have had to make the hard decision with parents or grandparents when they get to a certain age and say, you know what, you're not going to be able to drive anymore, Grandma, or it's time to move into a senior assisted living. Those are not easy conversations. And the Democratic Party and Joe Biden and the Biden family in particular had that conversation. And Joe Biden, in my opinion, did the honorable thing. He put country ahead of self, and he made way for the next generation of leadership in the most likely Vice President Kamala Harris. I think what people should ask themselves tonight is, why didn't the Republicans do this? I mean, for the Democrats, the moment was the presidential debate a month ago or so, and they said, look, we have to have the hard conversation with President Biden. January 6th was that moment for Republicans, and yet they refused to have that hard debate amongst themselves. And Donald Trump is now the Republican nominee with 34 felony counts. And you should ask yourselves, I think, or all of us should, as potential voters, now with someone like Kamala Harris, most likely at the top of the Democratic ticket, does Does Donald Trump have the mental faculties, acuity, and stamina not just to be president now, but think of 4 years from now when he would be 82? So I think Republicans have a lot of soul searching to do, and I think tonight Joe Biden should be praised for what he did and the Democratic leadership for bringing it to a hard but important moment in American politics.
Thank you, Todd. Todd, much more from you coming up throughout the hour. We want to bring in Mike Wagner of the University of Wisconsin and Madison School of Journalism and Mass Communications. He researches and teaches about journalism and the media. And Mike, I thought your insights tonight would be incredibly valuable. So thanks for joining us on vacation in Michigan right now.
Good to be here.
Yeah, I think it's caught. I think it just goes to show how much, even though we were expecting this, it was pretty much something out of the movies. All hands on deck. We were all in the middle of enjoying our Sunday afternoon when the news broke, and we leapt into action. I want to ask you, what are some of your thoughts and impressions first off?
It is a historic day, right? The president of the United States and a man who has wanted to be president for 40 or 50 years and is the president and has had a very successful presidency in his first term in terms of public policy, in terms of the unemployment rate, economic growth, getting inflation under control. All of these things are the kinds of things that you would say would normally set you up very well for reelection. And yet his debate performance was undeniably disastrous. And he was not able to persuade party elites, nor was he able to persuade especially middle of the road voters that he was up for the job to be reelected. And so over the last few weeks, there's been this long, and slow, methodical move within the party to try to persuade President Biden to make the decision that he made today. And so President Biden is not running for reelection. He is doing so, he made the choice. Now they'll go to a convention and have a period where they choose their own nominee. This is well within the rules of the Democratic Party. This is something that they have contingencies for, as would the Republican Party in their own case. And so it'll be very fascinating to see how things progress from here.
I'll ask you, what are the rules? I mean, there's a lot of speculation, some of it probably wild and unfounded, about what can and will happen. Does it seem that they did the right thing to instantly circle the wagons around Kamala Harris at this point? Is that the only choice they had?
They could have other choices. The rules suggest that now that President Biden is not a candidate, the people who are pledged delegates to him are no longer obligated to cast their vote at the convention for Joe Biden. But they are also not obligated to vote for who he endorses. So President Biden has said he puts his support behind Vice President Harris. Most Democratic Party elites, I think, are very likely to go with that choice. But someone else could say they want to run. Someone else could be nominated. There could be a floor fight. Usually they take kind of a test vote before going around and doing the whole process. It could be that someone like Senator Manchin, who left the party and became an independent, may come back and try to get the nomination for president. But by far the most likely outcome would be Vice President Harris becoming the nominee.
Yeah, we did see that Joe Manchin is thinking about getting into this thing. It would surprise me if the party rallies around him.
He is far less well known than Vice President Harris and would have a much harder time raising money. Vice President Harris can spend the money given to the Biden-Harris campaign. And so she has just an enormous number of advantages. She is the vice president. She has this record of the Biden-Harris team. She didn't leave the party that she would be seeking the nomination for like Manchin would. And so it would be difficult. It would be a very difficult road for him, I think, to get the nomination. Also, he's quite middle of the road. And people in these conventions tend to be, stronger partisans and might not look too kindly on a person who, left the party.
How about the history of all of this, especially in this modern media age? Lyndon Johnson did this. I believe Harry Truman as well pulled out of a race while it was still in Swiss. This, as Savannah Tomei Olson reported earlier, would be the latest this ever. How will this play with the American people?
Well, most people don't remember with great detail a time when the party chose the nominee, but that's really how we did it from the founding of the country through 1972, right? Primaries were not binding until the 1970s, and it wasn't really until after that that they became, you know, the incredibly important elements that they are in contemporary presidential politics. And so we're really in a small way kind of reverting back, at least on the Democratic Party side in this particular election, to a convention where the party elites will be choosing the nominee. But it's how we've done it for most of American history. So, you know, we have a history of doing it, but not one in most any of our memories. And so it's peculiar from that standpoint. And of course, you know, it's not the case that many people who might have run had President Biden said, you know what, I'm not going to seek re-election, and said this back in January. Maybe other folks would have, you know, thrown their hats into the ring and contested Vice President Harris. So there's not a lot of time for them to put together a national campaign. They don't have the financial advantage she has as being on the ticket with President Biden already. And a lot of the institutional support is already lining up behind her.
We're getting word, too, that Republicans are seeking legal action to require Joe Biden to remain the nominee. That does not seem like anything a court of law can force a person to do. I imagine this is all for show.
It's very difficult to imagine that wish being successful. It sounds, frankly, like a fantasy. The Democrats have not nominated anybody for president yet. And to have a court force somebody to be that party's nominee seems extremely unlikely.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much, Mike Wagner. It was great for you to join us on short notice while you're on enjoying a nice weekend in Michigan. Lovely place.
It is. And thanks so much for the time, and have a great show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Civic Media News coverage continues. President Biden's decision to withdraw his re-election bid. Shortly after the announcement, Senator Tammy Baldwin released the following statement, and this is a quote. "It has been an honor to work with Joe Biden to deliver real, meaningful change for working Wisconsinites across our state. Today, seniors are paying less for their prescription drugs. Our state has been put to work rebuilding our infrastructure, and millions of Wisconsinites with pre-existing conditions have health care coverage because of the work we've done together. Throughout all of that work, I've been inspired by his decency, integrity, and dedication to service, and I am deeply grateful for that. Thank you, President Biden." Then she issued another statement shortly after that, this again from Senator Baldwin. "Today, I'm proud to endorse Vice President Kamala Harris for President of the United States. I look forward to her candidacy as a new beginning for our party and our country, and I am excited to work with her to lower costs for Wisconsin families, grow our Made in America economy, and restore our fundamental rights and freedoms." Senator Baldwin was scheduled to give a campaign rally in Stoughton earlier this afternoon, and of course she took that occasion to make some remarks about today's developments. And Brian Kelly, if you have some of that sound ready for us to share with our audience.
President Biden decided to step aside in his campaign for re-election and focus his attention on serving out the rest of his term. We owe him such a debt of gratitude for his lifetime commitment to our nation. He also promised to be a bridge to the next generation, and we're seeing that transpire in real time before our very eyes. I have always been aware that we are a battleground state. Everyone in this room knows that. It's been said that Wisconsin will decide who the next president is, what party controls the United States Senate. We may even contribute mightily to changing the balance of power in the House of Representatives. We got some major. We are going to see an election that is both inspiring at the top of the ticket as well as inspiring at the grassroots level everywhere in our state.
And the statements keep coming in. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan, who was the first lawmaker from Wisconsin to publicly come out and say President Biden should withdraw on Friday. He tweets, "Today, I thank President of the United States for his tremendous service to this country. He got this country out of COVID and has us economically strong again. It is time for the GOP to talk with former President Trump about his candidacy. His flaws as a candidate have not changed. 34 felonies, Project 2025, and more." And that is from Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Gwen Moore, with the following statement. This is a quote: "President Biden is exiting this race with great dignity, and I'm really proud of his presidency and his record. His successful agenda will continue to improve the lives of the American people for years to come. My focus remains on defeating Donald Trump. We must all unite in our efforts to protect our democracy and individual freedoms. I will support Vice President Harris as the Democratic nominee and will work hard to ensure Democrats win in 2024. That, again, a statement from Milwaukee Congresswoman Gwen Moore. Let's bring Todd Albaugh back into the program. And Todd, you've been observing a lot of the chatter that's been happening. Is it consistent with what you expected to hear?
Yeah, I mean, certainly as a former Republican, you know, I'm not as in tune to the Democratic side as other people on our panel, and perhaps we could bring our colleague Earl Ingram in from WAUK to speak to that. But I think certainly politically speaking, again, I think this is a great time to simply admire what President Biden has done. He's put country ahead of self. And again, I think the question for voters in Wisconsin is, why haven't the Republicans done the same? And does Donald Trump have the faculties, the acuities to be president of the United States, not just now, but 4 years from now, when he's 82? So I salute President Biden, but certainly Earl Ingram is more in tune as a lifelong activist and a Democrat on the other side of the aisle.
Earl, the people, your friends that you're talking with today, what are they saying?
Well, clearly, I just want to say this before we get there. I think the wrong thing to do is to spend time talking about Donald Trump and the Republicans right now, because it's an opportunity for the Democrats to be able to bring together their all of those folk who really understood that Joe Biden didn't just step aside, he was forced out, because people knew the impact of what was happening with the Republicans and Donald Trump, and the fact that the financial support for President Biden had waned. This is a great opportunity for Kamala Harris to select a vice president, presidential candidate, maybe Gretchen Whitmer, and have two women running, and be able to bring together groups of people who probably would have never been brought together before. I think if we don't realize what time it is, how critically important this time is, and that there isn't a lot of time to squabble about who's next up, the Democrats are going to have to pull together. She is the vice president. She was selected to be the vice president by the president of the United States, and she's done that for 4 years. If anything happens outside of that, it puts the Democrats in a situation that they're guaranteed to lose. Let me give you some statistics quickly. The black vote. In 2020, the black vote made up 24% of the Democratic vote. And the black community in the city of Milwaukee and across this nation have overwhelmingly voted for Democrats. What President Biden knew, and why they were spending so much time and effort and resources in the city of Milwaukee, and why Kamala Harris was scheduled to come to Milwaukee even be again for the third time in the last several weeks, is because they know that the key to getting any Democrat reelected is through the black vote. And yet, at some point in time, I don't know at what point in time we're going to realize just how critically important that is. And I will say this. If the Democrats can't coalesce, can't bring all those factions together like the Republicans did under Donald Trump, then they deserve to lose. Because if they choose not to support Kamala Harris, for what reason? She is the vice president of the United States. She's been endorsed by the President of the United States, what could be the reasons that they would not support her? And if that is, in fact, what happens, then I can tell you that the Democrats, Black Democrats, aren't going to support whoever that ticket is. They're going to turn against the Democrats. And as I stated before, 24% of the Democratic vote is Black.
Earl Ingram, it seemed that many Black voters, at least according to polls, wanted to wait and hear more from Joe Biden. They weren't all in right away and slow to come around. Does Kamala Harris accelerate support for the Democratic ticket?
I will say this. Barack Obama received over 90%. Let's see. Barack Obama received 82% of the Black vote. There's nothing that points to me that makes me believe that Kamala Harris won't receive something similar. 77% of the Black vote if Kamala Harris is the nominee. There's no question. Listen to these statistics quickly, and then I'll move on. In 2016, Hillary Clinton won 77% of the Black vote, and she became the eventual nominee. In 2008, Barack Obama received 82% of the Black vote, and he became the nominee. In 2004, John Kerry received 56% of the Black vote. He became the nominee. In 2000, Al Gore received 86% of the Black vote. He became the nominee. In 1992, Bill Clinton received 70% of the Black vote. He became the nominee. It's not by accident. It clearly is critically important, and the Democratic Party is aware of that.
Earl Ingram is the host of The Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media, originating from WAUK in Waukesha. Earl, thanks so much for joining our program tonight.
You're welcome.
So, Todd, more reflections on this incredibly historic day. We saw it coming, well, probably as early as back of that debate that you and I co-hosted live broadcast, then through his COVID-19 diagnosis, and it was much of the talk at the very end of the Republican National Convention. In fact, Joe Biden threatened to steal some thunder from President Trump. There was even talk of maybe him making an announcement the night of Trump's acceptance speech. This has been a really eventful few days.
It has. And I'll tell you this, Terry, I spent the last 2 weeks traveling the state of Wisconsin, everywhere from River Falls, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, Richland Center, New Glarus, just south of Madison, over to Milwaukee and points in between. I've talked to an 18-year-old voter for the first time in New Glarus and across the state. I can tell you this, that people, voters in Wisconsin, were frustrated that the only choices they had were Trump and Biden. I think this state, the majority of voters are yearning for a change and yearning for excitement. And I think that with this show of putting country before self of Joe Biden today and stepping aside and making way for Kamala Harris, the vice president, I think it's going to re-energize people. I think it's going to give Democrats a new energy. I think it's going to give independents an energy. And when you put Kamala Harris, a person who is an attorney general in California, look, Donald Trump is a 34-time convicted felon. Kamala Harris put felons in jail. When you juxtapose that to a guy like Donald Trump, you watch it. We saw that 92-minute speech in Milwaukee last week that was meandering. It was everywhere. It was incoherent at times. When you put a guy who would be 82 at the end of his presidency, should he be back in the White House next to Kamala Harris, who has her stuff together, I think that voters are going to be very energized by that and are ready to give Kamala Harris a chance. I think that Donald Trump politically, if you look at what Chris LaCivita, a guy who ran Ron Johnson's campaign in Wisconsin successfully, this is his worst nightmare. As our friend Trigvi Olsen said, this is a situation politically of the dog catching the bus that he was chasing. And it's not a good thing for Republicans in the Trump campaign tonight. They're already on the attack. They're disorganized. They don't know what to do. This was their worst nightmare of going up against somebody else other than Joe Biden.
With everything we've been hearing about so far, you'd think that there would have been some preparation. We'll talk more about that. We have much more to share with you on this special hour-long special broadcast, Civic Media News, President Biden, his decision not to run for re-election. We'll be back with much more and more of our panelists here on special coverage on the Civic Media Network. Stay with us.
Impromptu news conference. Take every one of those questions that was thrown at Joe Biden, now do Donald Trump, because the voters should see the difference. Biden didn't say he'd like to be dictator for a day. He didn't say he'd like to date his daughter. You had some minor mistakes while having a firm grasp of the big problems in our country.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreidlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. But I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And welcome back to Civic Media News special coverage of President Biden's decision to withdraw from his re-election campaign. Reactions rolling in, this from Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers, and this is a quote. President Biden has been an extraordinary president, one if not the most well-accomplished presidents of my lifetime. He has led and guided us through some of the most tumultuous times in our nation's history, a ravaging pandemic and economic disaster, wars the world over, an insurrection, and a near-daily assault on basic tenets of our democracy and our more prized institutions. And he did so all while delivering for the American people, enacting historic investments in our infrastructure, helping rebuild the middle class, working to reduce costs for working families and seniors, fighting against attacks on reproductive freedom, and passing real solutions to the climate crisis, and so much more. President Biden is a leader who's always chosen unity over division, people over politics, selflessness over selfishness, and decency and respect over cruelty and retribution, and that's as evident today as it has been throughout each day of his decades of public service. I've been proud and honored to support him, and I'm incredibly grateful for all of the work we've done to be able to do together. Thank you, Mr. President. And that is from Governor Tony Evers of Wisconsin. Let's bring in some more of our panelists. Matt Rothschild and Dan Schaefer are standing by with some of their thoughts and impressions. Matt Rothschild, formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and also with the Progressive. And Dan Schaefer is with the Recombobulation Area. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, your first impressions.
Well, as you know, I was, Terry, you and Todd saw me the day after that fatal debate performance, and I was fit to be tied. And I said pretty bluntly that Joe Biden can't be the candidate. And you guys talked me down off the cliff a little bit there. But, you know, this is the right decision for Biden to make. And it did take some courage and some selflessness. So I congratulate him on that. You know, unlike LBJ, Biden had already won. LBJ hadn't won the primary. LBJ was in a tough primary race, but here you had Biden who had won the whole thing. So he could tell himself and anybody and God himself that, look, I won the whole thing. This is mine. Go away. And essentially, he was trying to say that for a couple of weeks, and then Nancy Pelosi said, think again, and that started the avalanche here. But this is definitely the right decision. And what I'm hearing from my friends on Facebook, you know, even those who wanted to support Biden after the bad debate and gave me grief for saying Joe's got to go, everybody is coalescing around Kamala Harris, very enthusiastically behind Kamala Harris. They want this thing over the division within the Democratic Party. They want to go four square behind Kamala Harris. There's a lot of optimism. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of enthusiasm on the Democratic side tonight.
I'll be honest, as a reporter, I was sort of looking forward to the prospect of covering a brokered convention. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. Dan Schaefer, do you think that's for the best? Dan, we're having
trouble. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. I think that, you know, it's remarkable to see the immediate level of support for Kamala Harris right out of the gate from President Biden after he made the announcement. I saw that Tammy Baldwin was among those who made that endorsement right away as well. Even some of the folks here in Milwaukee who during the RNC last week, people like Mayor Cavalier Johnson, County Executive David Crowley, also lining up behind Kamala Harris here as well. So I think that's a really important thing. We'll see, you know, kind of how this shakes out. I saw that there is that news kind of floating around on Joe Manchin and whether he would get into the mix here. You know, remains to be seen exactly what happens there. Joe Manchin does seem to like the spotlight in these types of moments, but we'll see what happens. But I think it would be, you know, this is why we have a vice president, right? This is why we have a vice president. So if the president is unable to continue his duties, as you know, he made that decision today about a potential next term, and I think it makes sense for people to line up behind the vice president in this moment.
A lot of talk turning to who Kamala Harris's running mate may be. Who are some of the names being bandied about, and which ones do you like best?
Well, I kind of like the idea that Earl Ingram suggested of Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan. I think she would bring Michigan straight into the column for the Democrats. It's one of the crucial swing states. And I think, you know, this abortion issue is going to be key, and she and Kamala Harris could really bring that to the fore. The other person I like is Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona. Arizona is another swing state. I think he's got a great story, former astronaut, married to Gabby Giffords, can bring the gun issue forward, can bring a lot of important issues forward and win Arizona. So those are my two favorites anyway.
Dan?
Yeah, I think Kelly would be a great choice. And I think it does matter to a certain extent what the context of some of these candidates that are being talked about as vice presidential candidates would be, because some of them are, you know, a senator or a governor of a swing state, and you don't necessarily want to remove somebody from a crucial position there. So Governor Andy Beshear from Kentucky has been talked about. Roy Cooper from North Carolina, he is term limited as a governor there. So that's a, you know, potential option as well. I also think J.B. Pritzker from Illinois, the Illinois governor, would be a really interesting choice. He's obviously very wealthy, could bring some fundraising edge to the ticket there. I think it is also important to, you know, to get away from the coasts a little bit for the Democrats here and have, you know, a candidate who might be from the Sun Belt like Mark Kelly or from the Midwest like Pritzker.
Yeah, that was the Republican strategy. Their running mate was an attempt to lock up the so-called Rust Belt states. So geography plays into this to some extent, doesn't it, Dan?
Yeah. J.D. Vance may blow up in their face, though. I mean, he said Kyle Rittenhouse had all of manly virtues that we need to emulate. And he said a woman who's in an abusive relationship or a battered wife needs to stay in her marriage. You know, he's for a national ban on abortion. I mean, I think the more people get to know these really far out, far right attitudes of J.D. Vance, they're not going to like him. I also thought he was pretty immature in his speech. So I don't think he's going to wear very well. He's not going to help Trump very much at all, I don't think.
Perhaps we can bring Earl Ingram back into the conversation now. We are unable to do that. Okay, thank you very much. We'll get to Earl a bit later. I'm sure he's got a lot to say that would be helpful. Todd Arbaugh, what would you like to ask Dan and Matt?
I would just say one other name I throw in the mix I've heard tonight, Josh Shapiro, governor of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is going to be a kingmaker, perhaps. It comes down to Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, maybe Arizona, Nevada as well. So let's see what both of you think of Josh Shapiro. And again, I think it goes back. You both brought up the name of Mark Kelly, senator of Arizona. You two know it the best. Explain to the audience a little bit. A lot of this is vetting, right? It takes a long time to vet. Sometimes a governor that did well statewide, it's a completely different thing when people run nationally. Mark Kelly has been an astronaut. He's been in the military. He has been vetted for security reasons as an astronaut. He may be the most vetted potential person out there, Dan.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it also matters that what happens in Arizona too. And so what would happen if Kelly were to be elected is that the governor would be able to appoint a Democrat, and then there would be a 2026 special election in Arizona. So it would not immediately jeopardize a Senate seat. And we know that's really important right now with how closely divided the U.S. Senate is. So I think that is a factor to consider, that if Kelly were elevated to this position, that they would be able to keep that seat under Democratic control as well. And so I think that is, that is an important factor for this race and for making some of those calculations. Like hypothetically, not that I think she would be in the mix, but like removing a senator like Tammy Baldwin, for example, mm-hmm. from a swing state, that could potentially complicate things if there's, somebody on the ballot like that. But I think given, that Kelly's term runs through 2026, he ran against Blake Masters in the last Senate election in Arizona. I think there are some comparisons to be made between Masters and J.D. Vance. They are both Peter Thiel-backed, kind of new generation, Trumpified Republicans who in many ways, Mr. Rothschild was saying before, has a lot of red flags. So I think that would be quite the contrast in that sense as well between, Kelly as a potential Democratic vice presidential candidate, and J.D. Vance as the Republican vice president.
The one thought that I just couldn't help but have, I'm thinking of this convention in Chicago in a month or so, and Donald Trump made much of his surviving his assassination attempt. Gabby Giffords takes that stage in Chicago, and I'll bet you she brings down the house and plays well with the television audience across the country. Just a thought. Earl Ingram, of all the names being bandied about for vice president, which ones do you like the most?
Gretchen Whitmer is a no-brainer. To run two women, something before never even thought of. The possibility of that happening is here and now. Nobody could have predicted. They would probably say it would be 20, 30 years before we'd even consider having two women at the top of the ticket. The time is now. That opportunity exists. Gretchen Whitmer is as intelligent and well-spoken a governor as there is anywhere in this nation, for heaven's sakes. And you put her together with Kamala, and you're talking about women who are frustrated at both Biden and Trump. You bring women to the table in a mighty, mighty way. And clearly, I think the Democratic Party could do a lot worse than running two women, especially those strong women, who I think can bring some things to the table that need to be brought to the table and need to shake this nation up.
Mark Pocan, the congressman from the Madison area in South Central Wisconsin, was the first to come out, and from Wisconsin anyway, and make a statement that President Biden ought to withdraw. We have some audio from Mark Pocan now that we'd like to share with you.
Well, I have nothing but tremendous respect for President Joe Biden. He got the nation out of COVID. He's done great things for this country economically. The problem more than anything is he became president too late in his career. And, there were many questions from my constituents about whether or not he could defeat Donald Trump. And the concern level about Donald Trump becoming president again is off the charts. I think the president put, again, himself aside for the country so that we could have the option to make sure that Donald Trump isn't president, and his selflessness will go down in history as hopefully the catalyst to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't have a second term. People have nothing but respect for Joe Biden. They appreciate everything he's done. But, you know, when you look at President Trump's Project 2025 agenda, you look at the people he surrounds himself with, you know, it would have been, and it could be, devastating to this country if he were to become president. So I think people just had a, on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 14 or 15 on concern that Donald Trump could possibly get elected again. And I think this is the news many were looking for. You know, this is minutes. I don't even think we're a full hour past the announcement. So I don't know, other than, you know, we have a convention coming up in August. Much is going to be talked about in the coming hours and days. Fortunately, we have an extremely well-qualified vice president who's ready to be president and will likely be the leading contender. But, you know, I think we're going to find out what happens in the coming hours and days. You know, I mean, I didn't want to put out a statement. I had a private conversation with the president when he was in Madison, but I didn't intend to say anything publicly until the DNC this week tried to, unfortunately, do a power play and move up the vote for selecting the nominee from the convention, as it's always done. And that just made me nervous that there could be a small number of elites trying to make a decision for everyone else. And, you know, when you talk to the people in my district and around the state, the concern level was so high. So, you know, that really made me concerned enough that I had to speak out.
And that's Congressman Mark Pocan speaking with us earlier this afternoon. I'm curious to know if any of you have any insights or thoughts about what was it that tipped this matter for Joe Biden, because he resisted his campaign, was issuing denials as recently as yesterday. So, you know, he's had a couple of weeks to chew on this idea. What happened between yesterday afternoon and this morning? Anybody want to venture or take a shot at that?
I do. He was forced out. Let's you know, stop thinking that Joe Biden all of a sudden made the decision to step down. He was clearly forced out when you know, the behind the scenes, Barack Obama and I'm sitting here thinking now, I'm drawing a blank on the former speaker, Nancy Pelosi and the top three, Jeffries, the top three or four Democrats collectively got together and told him that he could not win, he could not defeat Donald Trump, and that the fundraisers were really bringing pressure. My co-host Sandy Williams, every Tuesday and Friday, we talked for 4 hours over the last couple of days about this and about what was going to happen. And not only did we talk about it from that perspective, but we talked about it from the perspective saying that he wouldn't make it through this weekend. And we said that on the air this past Friday. But we also knew that what it does is steal the spotlight from the Republicans and Donald Trump. There's no point in us even having a conversation anymore about Donald Trump and the Republicans, because for the next 3 months, the conversation is going to be about the Democrats and what are they going to do. This is their time. This is their opportunity. There's nothing the Republican Party can do to steal the limelight back if the Democrats understand what time it is and how critically important it is. If they come together, they'll have the news media from now until election.
One thing that occurred to me during all of this is Bill O'Reilly did not lose his show on Fox News because of anything he said. It was because sponsors bailed on his show. The football team in Washington did not change its name because the owner felt it was the right thing to do. They changed the name because sponsors told him to and pulled out. So, you know, was the money drying up a big factor in this decision?
It's insidious almost that, you have the super rich people, the billionaires, telling the Democrats who their nominee should be. I hope that wasn't the sole or the primary reason that Biden threw in the towel. I'd much rather it be that the leaders of the Congress, as Earl said, came to him and convinced him, or that the polls show that he wasn't going to win. And look, the polls were showing he wasn't going to win for months and months and months. And you can only go so far saying polls don't matter before you recognize that you got a problem. It's like a patient who's got a fever with one thermometer and takes 100 thermometers and still's got the same fever, and you're going to say you don't believe the thermometers. I mean, that was getting ridiculous. And then when the swing states started to turn even more toward Trump, including here in Wisconsin, I think those factors should have been the ones that were determinative. I don't want a bunch of billionaires telling the Democrats, or the Republicans for that matter, who their nominee should be. That's not how a democracy is supposed to work.
Dan Schaefer, any thoughts on that topic?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. But I also think that, you know, so I was at the RNC in Milwaukee last week, and this conversation about Biden's future was obviously a hot topic among many people. And I think, you know, the Trump campaign has so geared its campaign around specifically going after Biden. And I think even, you know, before Trump's marathon speech on Thursday night, people were wondering if, you know, would that be the moment? Would Joe Biden try to steal the spotlight from the president, or from the former president, during his speech? Obviously, I didn't think that was the right move, but it seemed like things were heading in that direction all week. You had kind of this drip, drip, drip of coverage, whether it was, you know, a meeting with Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or Obama maneuvering behind the scenes or whatever it might be. And it just seemed like ever since the debate, Biden was in this kind of untenable position of forcing people to deny the evidence of their eyes and ears from what they saw at that debate on June 27th. And I think if you're running a campaign that's kind of the part of the cornerstones of your campaign are honesty and integrity, asking people to overlook that issue was just becoming an untenable situation. And I think what the debate did more than anything is amplify an issue that was already overwhelmingly the case before they took that stage. You know, the Marquette University Law School poll that was released one day before that debate showed that more than 75% of voters in Wisconsin characterized President Biden as too old to be president. So I think that really, you know, and I think that debate shoved everything right to the forefront and made it clear that this is going to be a central issue for Biden going forward in the debate. And people aren't going to, and as desperate as Democrats are right now to talk about policy, talk about, you know, democracy, talk about abortion rights, talk about the clear contrast between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, the thing that everyone would be looking for every time Joe Biden stepped to the lectern or opened his mouth in a televised interview or whatever it might be, was going to be about his age. It was going to be about how it was not going to be about the substance of his response. It was going to be about the style. And I think as much as Democrats want to get to a point where they're going to talk about the substance, because I think they win on the issues, and that this Joe Biden making the decision to end his campaign, Kamala Harris, you know, putting her hat in the ring, gives the Democrats an opportunity to get back to talking about the issues in this campaign, about Donald Trump, about the contrast between where Republicans want to take the country and where Democrats want to take the country.
Todd Albaugh, I'm sure you're eager to ask a question. I was wondering what you might be curious about.
I know both Matt and Earl have their hands up. Matt, you first, then Earl.
Yeah, I just think there are whole groups of people who are really jazzed about the developments today. Young people, women, black voters, maybe some Nikki Haley voters. And as Todd, you yourself said earlier, you know, 70% of Americans wanted a different choice between Biden and Trump, and now they got a different choice. So I think this is really exciting millions of people right now.
Earl, before you go, it's important to remind people, according to our crack staff at Civic Media, Vice President Harris is still on track to visit Milwaukee on Tuesday. As far as we know, it'll be her first stop as the new presidential potential nominee for Democrats. Earl?
So not only, and I think this is probably where there's some kind of misconception. It wasn't just that Joe Biden lost the debate. It was all the times afterwards, all of the conversations that he had, even the one where I interviewed him. And as a guy who followed Joe Biden for over 45 years of my life, having heard him and watched him, and it's not a matter of the fact that he was 81 years old or 82 years old. For heaven's sakes, Bernie Sanders is 82. I had Jim Clyburn, Congressman Jim Clyburn, on my show the week before that. He's 84. There's a distinct difference between those communication skills of those octogenarians than there was with Joe Biden. And clearly there's something cognitively not right with him. And so the fact that people continue to push him out there, and I was wondering when that was going to come to an end, for heaven's sakes, to say that the only person that can represent the Democratic Party was an 82-year-old man who has some cognitive liabilities was, I think, more than anybody could bear any longer. And that's the reason that he was forced out, because people understood not just the age, but the cognitive issues that he was dealing with, clearly, that everybody saw, and in the face of that, did not have the courage to say to him that it was time to move on.
Earl, you'll be there on Tuesday, I imagine. Many of us plan to be there. What will you be looking for from Kamala Harris to say?
Well, Kamala Harris was just here a month and a half ago, and I was there, and she really showed me something that I hadn't really thought she had, because she was always hidden. Nobody really got a chance to see, for the most part. The Democratic Party didn't do any favors for her. She was not ever put in a spotlight where people could see her skills. She's a very well-educated woman. If she sits down in a debate with Donald Trump, she will destroy him. She's well-educated, well-informed, and which is the one thing they said that we wanted Joe Biden to be able to do, and he wasn't able to do that. Kamala Harris would do that and then some. And so I'm excited. I know that when she comes, she is going to do what she did the last time I saw her. Somebody who has total control over what is taking place, and somebody who has a vision about where this nation should be headed, young enough in her 50s that she can see life through a different prism. And that's what's needed.
Thank you, Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. I saw your hand go up.
Yeah, I think when you take a step back and you look at the big picture of this decision, and I have to imagine it was an extremely difficult one for the president to make. But I think part of the cornerstone of Joe Biden's campaign has been about saving democracy in this country, about preserving democracy in America. And I think this decision reflects that democracy is bigger than any one person. And I think that is exactly why this is the right decision, why this is such an important decision, and why if it is Kamala Harris who emerges as the nominee, Democratic voters can rally behind her. But the individual is not the most important thing in a democracy. And I think this is a powerful, powerful message that President Biden is sending with that decision. This is bigger than any one person. This is bigger than the presidency. Democracy matters more than that.
Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Todd Albaugh, any last thoughts or questions?
I would just again say this is a unique moment, and I think that President Joe Biden needs to be lauded for his selfless decision, as Dan and others have nailed on the head. It was putting country before self. And I think that what Wisconsin voters have to ask themselves is which party, which candidate did that? In this case, it was the Democrats and Joe Biden. Why haven't the Republicans done that? Donald Trump would be 82 going on 83 if he were elected to a second term. I'm not sure that America or Wisconsin voters want that.
Matt Rothschild?
Yeah, what I'm hearing from my Democratic friends is, let's go, with many exclamation points. So there's just a ton of energy and enthusiasm right now.
Thanks so much to our panelists, Matt Rothschild, Dan Schaefer, Earl Ingram. We also heard from Mike Wagner and Savannah Tomei Olson. Thank you for being with us.
stick-to-itiveness. Stick-to-itiveness is not only about doing monthly regular money chores like checking your budget, it's also about accomplishing bigger money tasks. You know, like imagine closing a bank account and then moving your cash to another bank account with a higher interest rate. You know it's a good idea, but ugh, you also know it's probably gonna be a big hassle. Well, it's worth noting that there's a reason why most companies don't make this stuff easy. Because when it's hard, you pay them. Maybe in fees, maybe just because it's complicated, so they're hoping you'll give up and leave it. They make more off of you giving up. The key to navigating this stuff is persistence. Get the information you need, decide what you want to do, and then persist and persist and persist through all the hold times and other nonsense until you get it done. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.